I'll never lose my grip.
I struggled hard to get what I got, fam.
No, I'll never lose my grip.
So I will not let it slip through my hands.
No, I won't ever lose my grip.
Excuses are something that I just cannot stand.
I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose my
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 11 of The Real Raw Roper Show. Thank you for tuning in. I feel like I haven't talked in a long, long time. This whole every Friday thing's just weird. It's kind of how my schedule's playing out. It's not a good or bad thing, but I just miss doing podcasts, and this one time a week just kind of sucks for me. I really like doing them as much as I possibly can, but like I explained in the past episodes, you know, stuff's just kind of happens all the time, and I don't necessarily always have time to sit down and do it. But anyway, not an excuse. Here we are. Today is Friday. It's lovely Friday. It's starting to get a little colder every day, I feel. Nights are like 50, 60 degrees now, which is just crazy. Next thing you know, it's going to be leaves are falling all over the ground, and the high for the day is going to be 45 degrees. Halloween's right around the corner. All kinds of weird stuff. Time's just flying in my mind. A lot of things are going by really fast. I just turned 23 this past weekend. That is super weird to me. I feel like just yesterday I was turning 21 and it was such a big deal, and then 23 happened and I forgot my own damn birthday. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm an old man now. I live in a house. I mean, we've been in the house for a couple months. Time's just really, really going fast at this point in my life, which is it's not a bad thing. That's really cool. That just means we're busy and a lot of awesome things have been happening. So it's crazy. It's a crazy time. But to the point of the episode, so the topic kind of popped in my head in a really weird way. I have a tendency of going back on Spotify because that's where I listen to music and most of my podcasts and everything else. So I have a tendency of going back and listening to some of my favorite artists, all of their albums in order from first album to newest album. And one that I do pretty frequently, a couple times a year, just randomly out of the blue, is Eminem. And Eminem has like a billion freaking songs. So I started listening to his first album, which was in 1999, and then all the way up till 2018 with his latest album. And just hearing the progression and how he maintained certain aspects of rap in his rap, and then how he also changed and adapted, like, you between his voice and his flow and rhythm and wordplay and everything else, like, you really get to hear him evolve and kind of keep some things and adjust some things, and it was pretty crazy. So for a guy like that, who, if anyone knows me even a little bit, you know I'm just a super diehard Eminem fan. Those fans of his call themselves stans because of a song that he obviously wrote called Stan, which is a very deep song. But yeah, that's me. I have been listening to Eminem since I was like 7, which probably explains a whole lot and isn't probably the best thing to let your 7-year-old listen to, especially his first two albums that were out around that time were really out there. But oh well, screw it. I turned out pretty okay. I haven't killed anyone or done anything drastic. So I just appreciate the music. I relate to it a lot. And for him to be able to adjust and adapt and really grow as an artist in so many different ways and better his own livelihood. You know, obviously he got off drugs and a lot of the hard drugs he was on. So yeah, that affects you 100% for better or for worse. Like, some people miss the old Eminem, which he was doped out of his mind and drunk every single day and who knows what else. But obviously his mindset and everything else is going to be different from when he's sober, but to me it's the same guy, and I think a lot of people view it that way. Obviously his music changed because he's not as high. I mean, it's for lack of words. But anyway, to the point is, a guy like that, who to me is just like super idol, like it's like a healthy obsession. I listen to Eminem way too much probably, but for him to be able to do that and to kind of take this step back and make the changes that he made to either stay relevant or just better himself in his own eyes, or to just better his livelihood, not necessarily his career. I mean, it's, to me, that's, there's just no excuse for no one to be able to do it. And he has to have a unbelievable high level of just, I don't even know. I don't even know the word I necessarily want to use. It's, I don't know. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't think of it. But to the point is, it's, some people get down on themselves, and I mean, everyone does. Everyone gets down on themselves, and you kind of just feel stuck. And I preach about this because I was there, and I'm probably, a lot of people are currently there or have been, or they, you might not even know you're there. I mean, that's, I definitely didn't know I was there until I got to take a step back and I was like, what the hell am I doing? And me and my mom just had to talk about this. I kind of had, not a breakdown, just a vent session because I needed to yell at something. I wasn't yelling at her. I was just yelling to her about things I was angry about. And we had this pretty big conversation about, you know, my sisters and all this other stuff, because they're getting older and going through all kinds of stuff. But the point of that was, the whole entire theme of that conversation that we had was just show up. No matter what it is, show up. Showing up is so important. Whether it be, you know, show up to your job, or show up to a meeting, or a family event you don't want to go to, or anything. Because showing up means so much more than I think a lot of us realize. And I'm not saying like, oh, you show up to work and that's all you're good for. No, I'm saying the days that you don't feel like going to work, just get up and go and show up, because it goes a long way. And that's something I definitely didn't learn easily or as smooth as I probably could have, because there were days that I woke up in high school and I was just like, I don't feel like going. And there was no real reason. And maybe I didn't feel great, and but I wasn't sick, but I would just, it was a reason not to go. And if looking back, not that high school necessarily correlates to the real world 100%, because there's a lot of things, probably most things, if I'm being honest, in high school that just really don't apply to my life now. And I have a big time, full-time adult job that pays the bills, and I obviously own a house. And high school didn't really help me do any of that. I kind of learned all that stuff on my own. But anyway, that's not the point. I'm not shitting on high school. Everyone listening, put your kids in school, make them go, even when they don't want to go, because a lot of your kids are probably like me and weren't that bad of students, but just didn't enjoy high school, so they looked for reasons not to be there. But back to the point is just simply, if I would have just shown up, it would have just, it would have made a lot of things go a lot smoother and happen a lot faster than they did in my life, which maybe is a good thing that they didn't happen, because I do learn things the hard way. But, you know, like, just, it happens a lot, even not necessarily just like in work atmospheres or school atmospheres, just in your relationship. Show up, man. Whatever you do in life, and no one ever wants to do something 24/7. And it's, even when I was in shape back in the day and obsessed with the gym, there were plenty of days I didn't want to get up and go to the gym early in the morning or late at night after or before work. But I showed up, and the whole purpose of me going to the gym paid off pretty well, because I was in crazy shape. And that's the point. That's why I showed up. And, you know, if you're having trouble in your relationship and you're stubborn as hell, I'm very stubborn, so I hate admitting when I'm wrong, or hate admitting that she's right or anyone's right. I'm not good in arguments because I don't like to be proved wrong, but I'm working on that. And part of that is just being there. You know, you can be in the same room with somebody but not really be there. And that goes for a lot of things, not just relationships. That goes for a lot of life. You can be physically somewhere, but you can mentally not be there at all. And mentally being there is just as, if not more important than physically being there. Especially in this world that we live in with technology and phones, where I could be halfway across the world, and if you need me, you can literally FaceTime me and see me as if I was there. So it's just, emotionally being there is really the thing that I'm trying to push. And even if it's not for someone else, if it's for yourself, emotionally be there for yourself. I think there's this crazy, crazy stigma on like mental health in general, but like especially male mental health. Like there's such this manly man idea that people or men have to be, you know, so tough and can't talk about their feelings. They have to hold everything in because it's, I don't know if it's viewed as cool or I guess you're like a bad boy or a tough guy. I don't understand necessarily. I know people go through things differently. Like I have a terrible time with my emotions, and feelings. Like, I don't like talking about that shit, but I also realize it's not healthy to not talk about it. So I'm trying to break that continuous cycle. And I feel, not everyone, but I don't think masculinity is necessarily holding your shit in. I mean, talk about your shit. Everyone got shit. Everyone, like every single person in this world, no matter who you are or what you've done or what you're going to do, how successful or much of a failure, no matter what, you have your shit the same as anyone else does. So holding it in doesn't mean it's not there. And all holding it in does is like lighting off a freaking ticking time bomb, because eventually you're going to blow up and it's going to be way worse than it should be because you just can't take it anymore. And that's anyone. Everyone is like that. You know, every single person has a breaking point, but I just feel if you don't get shit off your chest, it's, your breaking point's going to be like a hair trigger away at any moment, and it's going to be way worse than it should be. But not only that, and I'm not saying like you're going to be some angry monster, but you could just break down crying in a lobby or at Walmart because something pops in your head and you just can't take it anymore. You know, and I think that's where a lot of things, you know, kind of lead to suicide and other things. And that's just, that's a dark place to be, man. And I just don't get it. My shit was, I didn't talk about mine. And I guess this correlates to, because screw it. This is going to be the whole rest of the podcast right now, because this is something that's crazy to me. So mine wasn't because I wanted to be cool or a tough guy or anything else. I always felt, especially when my sisters were born, I was just supposed to be the strong one. So everyone had their shit and no one had time for my shit. And that wasn't their decision. I never felt like they didn't have time because they made it seem that way. I decided, as me, that no one else had time for my shit because their shit was already there. I'm still always the guy. Or at least I feel this way. I don't know. I feel like I'm always the guy or friend or family member that you can talk to and is there when shit gets rough or whenever you need someone. That's me. That's me as the person. I'm always there. I like being that person. I like hearing you vent. I like giving advice. I like solving problems. That's what I do. And I'm that person for a lot of people. I know that. And I might be for people I don't know. I'm not sure. It's not like a conscious thing necessarily. It's just how my brain operates and that's how my heart operates. I want to be there for the people I love. But with that being said, you know, the people that can call me and I'd be there and, you know, drop of a dime, when I go through shit, I tend not to call those people. Not because I don't trust them or anything else, but in my mind, I'm supposed to be the strong one, the strong friend or the strong family member or whatever it is. And I always felt that any insecurities or any problems that I went through, voicing them in any way, shape, or form made me uncomfortable and made me feel weak. And I think that's what drove me to hold my shit in. And it just wasn't good. I went through a couple different times in my life that were just really, really, really dark. And I don't know if anyone ever knew because I put on a great act, you know. And this is the other thing I was just talking with my mom about. Me and her, like, have a tendency to be, like, the class clown. So whenever I'm being, not always, but if I'm overly funny and overly optimistic and really goofy and everything else, it might not be 100% true. That might just be the act or the face I put on, because that's me. That's who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to make everyone laugh and feel comfortable and safe. I don't like talking about my shit because it's my shit and it's not anyone else's problem, but that's not right. You know, I know I have people in my life I can name 10 off the top of my head without even trying that would do anything for me. And that's not just family. That's a lot of friends that I've made, and I have close friends with a lot of people, and I know they would love to help me or be there or do anything they possibly could to help. But in my mind, it's like an inconvenience, or it makes me viewed as weak, which I know they don't. But that's just that. I don't know. I don't know why I do that, but that is what happens. And I think a lot of people tend to think about it that way, you know, and it's hard, especially when you're have insecurities that almost consume you at times. You know, it's kind of the whole reason I got super crazy into lifting and martial arts and everything. I wasn't like brutally bullied as a kid, but I was like tall and freaking super skinny, and the first two teeth I lost were my buck teeth, and I was just different. I was always weird and different. So yeah, I got bullied a little bit in school, and always by older kids that were way bigger than me, and you know, other shit happened in my childhood that I couldn't really control back then, and so I just had like this complex to always be the protector, and I wanted to be that. So fast forward, the you know, kid that was in fifth grade at like 5'5", 100 pounds soaking wet, beanpole, you know, put him in, you know, sophomore to senior year in high school, and I was 200 plus pounds and had a lot of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and boxing matches underneath me, and I just, people saw me as a tough guy, and I didn't act like a tough guy, don't get that messed up, but you know, it's, I had a lot of experience in combat stuff, and that was the point. I never had to fight a whole bunch of my life. I got in like 3, maybe 4 fights my entire life, and people saw it, and the stories got embellished and whatever. Like, I would tell people that's not what happened, but you know, people are always going to believe whatever they want to believe anyway. But the fact is, you know, and this is just how I was brought up too, if you're that bad, you don't got to talk about it. Other people talk about it for you, and I'm not a bad dude. I'm not a tough guy. I know plenty of people firsthand that would tie me in a pretzel or beat the piss out of me, but luckily they're really good friends of mine. But it's just, I don't know, when you run your mouth, I don't think you can back that up. I mean, there's obviously instances that you can. A lot of people talk shit in like UFC and boxing and are phenomenal fighters, but in a real world, you know, atmosphere, I think everyone wants to be like a online gangster. Everyone wants to talk the talk, but no one wants to walk the walk, and that's kind of why I am how I am. For a long time, I was shut off. I really, like, my emotions were off. I wasn't happy, wasn't sad, wasn't anything. I was just plain as can be, and that was scary as hell, because at a flick of a switch, if I was pissed off, it got ugly, and that happened a lot in college, and, you know, early on when I came home, and it was hard, and it's almost like I'd rather be mad because I could feel something, and back then it was just a nothing. It was really nothing, and just nothing bothered me, and if you got on my bad side, that was it, and it was just a shitty human being pretty much. I was just an asshole, kind of did what I wanted and didn't have any regard for anything else. But leading it all back, it's just, if I would have just talked to one person, if not more, you know, and luckily for me, I'm mentally strong enough and stubborn enough where, like, I never had like a suicidal thought or anything even remotely close. I was just pissed off, and that's all I knew. But you know, I could easily see how someone else in my shoes that might not have came up the same way I did, or might not have the supporting cast around them that I do. You know, if you put yourself in that situation and you don't have the things around you to stop you, it's easy to see how people can take that route, because it's dark and it gets bad. And when you feel like you're all alone and your back's against the wall and you have nothing, you kind of run out of options sometimes. So it's just open up, everyone. Just open up. Find one person. Everyone has one person, brother, sister, mom, dad, grandma, grandpap, your best friend in the world. It might be a therapist. I don't know. Wherever you find it, it's there, and you just got to look, or you just have to accept it. Like, a lot of people don't want to have that person because, again, you feel weak, and I get it. I this makes me feel weird now talking about it, but I'm trying to grow past it, and I'm really trying to put myself out there, because I can't preach for everyone else to do it unless I do it too. And I've been working on it a lot. I've had to swallow my pride, quote unquote, and just, you know, not be Mr. Manly Man, because there is no such thing as a manly man. I mean, you have like your burly dudes that look like lumberjacks that are tough and carry a knife and have a gun and the whole nine, and like, yeah, you're a manly man, I get it, but at the same time, that doesn't diminish the dude that has a buttoned-up suit and tie with, you know, dress shoes on, who's 130 pounds, that goes to work every day. It doesn't diminish him from being a manly man. He does the same exact duties. So I think that stigma just needs to get thrown away. It's old. I mean, a man's a man no matter how you look at it. And same with a woman. You know, it's, you know, woman, like, you know, the whole powerful independent woman movement, it gets branded as such a a one viewed woman, and it's not like, you know, you could be a millionaire entrepreneur woman who was self-made, and yes, that makes you very strong and independent, but you could be a stay-at-home mom and do everything in the world for your family, and that makes you just as strong. There's no one vision of anything, and I think the social stigma puts that on a lot of people, and then everyone just gets caught up in it. And I mean, that's life, that's society, that happens, I get it, but I don't want you or me or anyone else, like anyone, I don't want someone to view what they need help with and make it them feel like it diminishes who they are, because it doesn't. End of story. I mean, it really doesn't, because this is where my self-defense mechanism comes in. You know, like for me now, like me talking about my feelings, if someone were to hear about it and be like, oh, you know, like that's whatever term they want to call me or derogatory thing they want to call me, that's fine, because you want to challenge my manhood, we can challenge manhood. You know, someone wants to fight, we can fight. I don't like fighting. I hate it. Even if you win, that shit hurts. And if you think fighting's cool, you haven't been in it enough. Because you can clearly win a fight and your knuckles are going to hurt. Or if one person gets one punch in, your face is going to hurt. Like, there's no positive side of fighting. I don't get it. I don't know why it's cool. I don't. But the point being is, me talking about my feelings doesn't make me weak. You trying to put me down for talking about my feelings makes you weak, because you clearly have deeper underlying issues that you don't want to talk about, and you viewing someone else as doing it and trying to put them down makes you feel better. And that's the end of the story. We need to make positivity and happiness louder than negativity and being miserable. And right now, that's not how it is. No one wants to hear about the success stories or the love or the positivity in the world. Everyone wants to hear the negative. Turn on the news channel for 10 minutes and do a comparison of how many bad to good stories you hear. On average, I would bet a whole lot of money, bad wins. So that's my little rant for today, guys. Just open up to anyone and show up and for yourself, if no one else. If you can't figure out anyone to really cling to show up for, I mean, one, it will happen one day. You'll find that loved one, or you'll have a kid, and it your whole world changes. And sometimes not always immediately. You know, it's me and Madison have been together a long time. You know, obviously we're engaged now and we have a house and all this other stuff, but we still go through things because sometimes emotionally I'm not there. And it's something that she kind of knew. Well, I guess she didn't sign up for it initially when we started dating, but as we grew together, she kind of figured it out and she chose to stick around. So, you know, she's seen me at one of my worst, if not my worst places when we first met, and she chose to be here, obviously. She chose to say yes to marry me and all this other stuff. So, you know, for me, especially now, going through all this self-change that I'm trying to make, it's not only for her, but it's for me, because I don't like being that person, but I know it's for her best interest too. So for her to see me at my worst and accept that and love me still, it's, you know, me as a person and as a man, I'm trying to do everything in my power to let her see me at my best and give her my best. And that's not saying our relationship is good or bad. You know, we go through anything just like any other relationship. We have our own stuff all the time, and everyone does. It's not always pretty. It's not always ugly. It's just life, and we go through that together, and that's why I'm so thankful we found each other so young. But, you know, it's right now for me, I'm just showing up when I can, and that's every day I possibly can. I'm trying to just be more open and just be there when she needs me to be there, because whatever I was doing at certain times wasn't working, and she let me know. And you know, I am stubborn, so sometimes I didn't want to admit it, but now it's like, you know, I have to realize she's not me. She's, you know, and this goes for anyone. Like, you know, I have a hard time expressing certain emotions where she doesn't, and I have to realize that. And now I'm working on that, because it's what needs to happen. So I'm not only showing up for her, I'm showing up for me, because I want to be a better human for myself and for her. So it goes hand in hand. So that's it, man. I think you guys And everyone out there should just try to spread the word. I mean, just make positivity and love and happiness louder. Make it louder so everyone can hear it, and just shut out all the noise that's bad. Just block it out, because people that try to pull you down are just miserable themselves. So surround yourself with upbeat people that are going to tell you how it is. And that doesn't always mean it's upbeat. I shouldn't say upbeat, just real. My best friends in the world will be the first ones cheering me on when I do something great, but they'll also be the first ones telling me I fucked up. So that's what you need. Keep real ones around you and keep your head on straight. Open up. Don't fall into the stigma of being a manly man or a strong, independent woman, because there's so many different ways to do that. And it's really just based off the, like, someone else's judgment. So that's it, guys. Thanks for sticking with me. I kind of went on and off a little bit, but it was something I'm pretty passionate about. It relates to my life a lot on a daily basis. So that's episode 11. We're starting to really get a hang of things. Before I go, though, I do want to give a quick shout out and mention, and we are going to have him on the show at some point, for sure, him and his brother probably. But if you know me, you know I'm great, great friends with the whole Conway family, but mainly Matt and Mike Conway, because I grew up with them. We've been friends since I was like 6, and they're basically brothers. I don't even think friends does them justice. We grew up together, we've gone through our shit together, and we continue to go through our shit together. They are both pro boxers. They're doing great in life. But Mike, who is the middle of the three, is just starting out his own construction company. It's just like home projects for concrete, asphalt, patios, and driveways, and sidewalks, and the whole nine. So it's called Maverick Ace, meaning asphalt, concrete, and excavation. So it's on my Instagram story, and I think it's on my Facebook. I shared it. So go give them a check anytime you guys think you have a new project at home that you want to check off the bucket list. It's not too late. We are starting up soon. So go check it out. Get his information and give him a shout out, or give him a call if you need us. Him, mainly, because he's the boss. So thank you for listening, guys. Hope you continue to listen, and I'll catch you sometime next week.